right. Well, I can get us started. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for joining. We can get right into it with the approval of our agenda. As you see it before you, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Tony Abbott.
Thank you, Tony. Do we have a second?
Robert Peary, second.
Thank you, Robert. All in favor, please say aye or indicate by waving your hand.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. We can move into action items. The first being approval of our August meeting minutes. So if you're looking at the screen, they've been pulled up. If you have any questions, please say so. Questions or comments. If not, then I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes as well.
So moved, Ariel.
Thank you, Arielle. Do we have a second?
Second, Brenda Pollan.
Thank you so much, Brenda. All in favor, please say aye or indicate by waving your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next up is approval of the October minutes. And you'll see those in front of you as well. And I will entertain a motion.
So moved, Robert Peary.
Thank you, Robert. Do we have a second?
Second, Ariel.
Thank you, Ariel. If no
Yes, sir.
discussion, please
Okay, the meeting
indicate
is.
by saying aye or waving your hand.
I'm you. Okay.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the October minutes are also approved. And now we'll get into our calendar for the 2026 COPEC meetings. So I think we discussed this a little bit on the end of our last meeting. If you all have any issues with these dates, please say so now. We can take a little bit to review them. I encourage you all to look at your calendars. But if no discussion on it, then we can entertain a motion to approve these dates.
So moved, Tony Abbott.
Thank you, Tony. Do we have a second?
Second, Brenda Pollan.
Thank you, Brenda. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye or indicate by waving your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the dates are approved. I will ask staff. I know we usually end up getting the calendar invites about a week prior. It would be super helpful if we could just get all of these holds on our calendar for the year, if that's possible.
That's a good idea.
Because I
I'll let
know.
Kieran answer that.
I can definitely do that. And I was talking to Wycota about doing that for all committees because I think that's super helpful as well. And I'm making note, and we will definitely do that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we can get into our fourth and final action item, the FY 2027 UPWP preliminary draft.
Good afternoon, and this is Wycota Wong. I'm presenting this agenda item, preliminary draft of fiscal year 2027 Unified Planning Work Program. You have all experienced UPWP before. You know it's the Corn PO's staff budget for each year. So fiscal year 2027 will cover July 1st, 2026 to June 30th, 2027. Each year's task are divided into two parts. One part that are pretty similar, and other parts are very specific to each year. And this document is more than 100 pages. So, and this is a very, very preliminary draft. that we have over here. So I will just go over some of the tasks that we are planning for next year, and some of the things that are related to this committee. So I will just go to the budget page. So just to let you know that the UPWP are divided into transit tasks and highway tasks. And under highway tasks, you have task one, administration, task two, public involvement, and task three, data collection, analysis, and forecasting, task four, system planning and operation, and task six, increasing safe and accessible transportation. And under transit task, you have administration, long-range planning, short-range planning, and transportation improvement program. So I will talk to you about a little bit about what's related to this committee, because you are the public involvement committee. So definitely task two, public involvement, that's to your purview. And public involvement includes the public outreach that CompuHealth staff conducts. So that would be for our plans, for our programs, and then for our studies. And then also we probably have others. So another task is orientation, because we constantly have new members and new board members and committee advisory committee members. So we constantly give them orientation. So it can be orientation for specific members, individual ones, or we can just have a general one. We invite everybody to listen in. So that's part of the public involvement. Another part is we constantly update our website, particularly when we have plan updates, program updates, and the study updates, and the surveys, and all of that. So that will be covered under public involvement. And we also have social media accounts, Facebook and Instagram. We constantly update those to give you the information. And then also, if we do have updates to the Title VI plan and participation plan, that's also covered under public involvement, and then also probably short-range planning and the TR. So those are mostly related to this committee, because Title VI plan and the participation plan are constantly, you are guiding us for that. And also administration covers the TPAC or TPAC or COPIC meetings. So we prepare the meeting minutes, meeting agendas, and meeting materials, staff reports. So that's covered under administration, both highway and the transit. Data collection and analysis, we constantly collect socioeconomic data, including the census data, and then bicycle pedestrian counts data, and then also the land use data tracking. For example, we might track traffic impact analysis. So that's covered under the task data collection. And system planning operations, that's major, because we do that. It covers the long range transportation plan, transportation improvement program, congestion management process, and non-motorized transportation plan, and also freight planning. So it's all covered under system planning and operations. Transit planning, besides the having the COPIC meetings and all the other CompuHealth board and advisory committee meetings, long-range transportation plan, we coordinate with CAT to develop the longer-range transit plan like CAT master transit plan and or implementation of that. And short-range planning would be anything that is related to CAD or the CompuHealth is conducting that related to transit. For example, the bicycle and pedestrian facility study that we are doing is related to the short range planning. We might also explore different things like transit oriented development and the transit. CAD has the bus stop inventory study. Probably next phase will be implementation and also the transit development plan. So those will be covered under short-range planning. So we will work with CAD to update those or help CAD to spread the word about the public outreach efforts. And then also another thing, the Transportation Improvement Program, because both Federal Highway Administration funds and federal transit funds have to be programmed in the TIP. So we constantly work with all of our jurisdictions and including CAD to program those funds to make sure that they can get the funds worked out. Increasing safe and accessible transportation options, and that is for the non-motorized transportation plan update, and also management of the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, and the implementation of the projects included in the non-motorized transportation plan. So for all of these funds are covering the staff, so that's including myself, Asia, Karen, Sadie, and Shubachi. So the total budget is about $880,000. And for task 7, we also have special studies, but those money will be used to pay for the consultants. As you know, that we have 3 studies and the staff will go through with you. So the management of those 3 studies, including reviewing the deliverables, providing comments, and also processing the invoicing. So those will be covered under special studies. And the CAD also are working on the ARP and AOPP funded studies. So those haven't been completed yet. So we will keep on working with CAD to make sure that they're completed. So this is basically the budget for next fiscal year. And all the specific tasks are actually detailed under each task. As you can see that we did have a higher budget for administration and a higher budget for system planning. That's because MTP, TIP, congestion management, CMP, fleet planning, non-motorized transportation plan, a major focus the MPO does. And then administration also covers the equipment purchase. So we do pay ArcGIS license, SurveyMonkey, and probably we will have a TIP database management too, that will be covered under equipment supplies. So that's included in administration. So if you have specific questions or about what the staff do, so you can just go over each of these tasks. And so that outlines the 2026 work that have been done and some 2027 activities that we are planning to do. Keeping in mind that fiscal year 2026 is not over yet. So we are only in the first half of that. So some of these activities listed probably will be completed in the later half of the fiscal year 2026. So basically from January to June of 2026, we might have a new TIP developed. When we prepare this document, we treat them as if they have been accomplished. So if you review these activities, you see you haven't seen them yet. That's because we still have a half of the year to complete those. So, and also under each task, that there's a budget and tells you how much money we are planning on doing this task and who will be involved. As you can see, most of the CORMPO staff members will be involved in all of the tasks. But I think a task 6, the complete street or so that's mostly Asia. But the rest of the tasks, so almost all of the CORMPO staff members will be involved. But task 6, so Asia will be the major staff member if she needs assistance, and we will provide assistance to her. So basically, this is the document. Normally, the procedure is that we develop the draft, the preliminary draft, in November to December, and then FHWA, FTA, and GDOT will have a 30-day review of this drafted document and provide us with comments in January, and then we incorporate all of the comments, and then we come back to you in February with the revised draft with all of their comments involved. And also during that time, you can review the document and send us the comments, and we will incorporate all of the comments and present to you a revised draft with all of those addressed. So basically for this meeting, we are just asking for this committee to endorse that we just make it okay for us to send the preliminary draft to FHWA, FTA, and GDOT for their 30-day review. Any questions on this?
I do. I'd like to make a motion in support of it. I do have one question that's kind of can you hear me?
Yeah, it's just the recording. So did it show? Yeah, the light up red.
Yeah, it's red. Okay. It's red.
Okay. Then.
And this is kind of off the wall, but Are you aware that CAT and the county are locked in a litigation?
Yes. So
affected their sales tax allocation formulas?
Yes.
People on the commission, like Pat Farrell, are trying to end the litigation, called for a resolution at the last meeting last Friday to do that. But I didn't know how this was affecting all of that, all of the components of the CAT part of your presentation.
I developed this preliminary draft before Mary left CAT. So I did get some comments from CAT already in task five, because we have to submit a section 5303 grant application by the end of September. So at that time, CAT was still there. Mary was still there. So Mary has already provided some comments, but I didn't document that CAT was going through the litigation, but one of our tasks.
I'm not saying you should.
Yeah. Because it's still being worked out. So one of the tasks over here and the transit administration would be constantly monitoring that information. But I don't want to embarrass CAT, but document that in the.
Well,
but
the county should be the one embarrassed. But at any rate, I would keep in touch with Commissioner Farrell. He's in favor of ending that litigation and moving on.
Yeah, we actually constantly monitoring that information, the CAT information. So the staff task will be covered under the transit planning administration or short range planning with CAT. But I think another important thing is probably we will help CAT to identify some local match money. That's the problem.
Good.
Because operating cost paratransit is currently covered by Chatham County. But since we issued the call for projects, CAT couldn't reply. They couldn't apply for any funds because they probably don't have that local match money. Normally the local match money come from the SPLOST. And as you know, the SPLOST 8 CAT was not on that. So we will try to help CAT to probably identify some funding sources, because what we can help CAT with is help them to do the planning and the capital improvement project, but we cannot help them with operating, because the FTA funds and FHWA funds cannot be used for operation. The Section 5307 can be used for the transit operation, but it's 50-50. So 50% federal dollars and 50% local match. So we hope that CAT can, so if they don't have the SPLOST funds, so their local match might be a problem.
Yeah.
So we're aware of that.
You know that they amended the enabling legislation for CAT last year in the General Assembly.
Yeah.
To reallocate.
The House Bill 756, yes, we heard about that. So I think the latest news we heard yesterday is that one of the state senators was trying to restructure CAT again. So currently it's 11 member, because it used to be 9 member and now it's 11 member. So this new is a senator.
I think it's Derek Mollo. He wants to restructure it to 13 total, which would add another seat to the county and another seat for the city. But I don't know how far that's gotten. So.
Well, you're right. It's unlike last year, that legislation was passed. You don't know what will happen this session. But, I don't see a problem with adding another seat on both. I think it's a distinction without a difference. The numbers are still going to be the same. But I personally, and I don't have a problem with that, but I think to leave CAT out of SPLOS funding is unfortunate.
Yeah, and then also reduce the mileage rate. That is another setback for CAT. I think the litigation is really impacting the transit riders. A lot of people actually are being impacted because they do need to take the transit to go to work and go to their doctor appointments. And it is unfortunate that they are having this litigation, but we're constantly monitoring it and we will try to help CAT as much as we can.
Did you see Commissioner Farrell's letter to the county commission on last Friday? He called for a motion to end the litigation and dismiss the lawsuit and to go ahead and appoint the new members, because they're vacant. The positions are vacant right now.
Yeah, so I think
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, it's very fluid right now. And also, I know that he wants to put that agenda as a discussion item on last Friday's Chatham Commission meeting, but he was denied. So yeah, we are constantly monitoring that information. So and offer whatever help that we could. So I think this is also related to this committee, because this committee, even if we don't want to say the transportation equity, but there is definitely equity issue. So people who take transit, people who take paratransit, you have disabled people being impacted, and you also have like lower income people impacted. And this is definitely the realm of this committee. So we will see whatever we can do.
Do you think, I'm asking the chairman, do you think we should take a stand on this? Mr. Chairman?
It's hard.
Are you on? Yeah.
Kim?
We can hear you.
No, my whole thing is, with it being so fluid, it's hard for, I feel like, us to take that stand and say anything with any type of authority. But I'd love to know what the rest of the committee thinks, and of course, how we vote.
This is Ariel Johnson from Chatham Area Transit Authority. And I just think all comments and all sides and all opinions definitely should be valued and taken in consideration. I think while things are going on, all sides should be looked at. And I just would love for everyone to keep advocating for public transportation, as we do know public transportation is not going to stop as the only public transportation provider of Chatham County. No matter the outcome, or, you know, things will still continue to push and move forward. And so, but we do need voices, whether that's at our board meetings, public hearing meetings, we do need voices. So love all the comments, but I do think we all should just look at all sides as well. And thank you, Court and PO, for all that you guys do as well, in the midst of all the fluid situation, like Mr. Turner said. Thank you.
Yeah, and then also I want to remind the committee that we are an advisory committee. So whatever advice that we give has to be forwarded to the CornPO board to make an action. But unfortunately, the CornPO board chairman is also the county commission chair, which is at the center of the litigation. So I think we probably just wait it out to see this new proposal, how this new proposal works out.
I agree.
Would he not have to recuse himself from this discussion of this, so far as the quorum PO goes, since he's at the center of the litigation?
We are not in the litigation ourselves. So basically, it's the CAT. I think the county commission chair is not satisfied with House Bill 756. So his anger should be geared towards the state legislators instead of CAT board. So, but right now, we all know what happened. So we would just have to wait out to see.
Yeah, I don't think that the chairman... I don't have a problem with our chairman. I think he's a pretty good guy, but I don't think he's going to get any support from the delegation this year. So I think the legislation as passed last session will stand, but I guess we just have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, the legislation. I don't have a problem with them passing the legislation, but they should consider the physical impact when they passed it. So they should probably the state should come up with money for CAT or something. So I mean, they should have considered the financial impact on CAT, because public transportation are not really profitable. I mean, they need our support. They need everybody's support. So they can pass whatever they want, but they need to really consider the physical impact before they pass it. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, regarding this document, preliminary draft of fiscal year 2026, 2027 UPWP, are we supporting to submit it to FHWA, FTA, and GDOT for comment?
Do we have a motion to endorse?
So moved, Tony Abbott.
Thank you, Tony. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Robert Peary.
Thank you, Robert. Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye or waving your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the document is endorsed.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move down into status reports. Item number 5, bicycle and pedestrian facility study.
Hi, everyone. Asia Herrington for the record. I'll be going through this staff report. So for the Corinpio bicycle and pedestrian facility study, the study is currently underway. So far, project management is underway, public engagement is underway, the literature review has been complete, and the inventory of all the bicycle lanes and sidewalks, that has been completed, and we have some of those maps in PDF form. And so now the next important task is the needs assessment. So that's going to analyze some of the gaps and the connectivity needs that we need in our bicycle and pedestrian system. But moving into some of what has specifically been done over the last few months. So we've had several meetings with Corinth Engineering and with other agencies. But the one I want to focus on is the project advisory group meeting. And this is basically a stakeholder group composed of a variety of stakeholders from different organizations. And I'm sure some of the people in COPIC are actually in this project advisory group. And they basically give input on the study itself. So the inventory data, some of the community needs, and anything else that's relevant to the study. So we just had our first meeting October 23rd, 2025. But if you would like to be in this stakeholder group, just give me your contact information and then you can join in on those meetings too, because we will be having more. Additionally, I want to focus on the coordination between Savannah Moves and this facility study. So there is an ongoing effort to build a multimodal transportation plan with City of Savannah. And so I just want to say that there is a distinction. So Savannah Moves is completely City of Savannah project, whereas the bicycle and pedestrian facility study is Corinpio, with the lead consultant being Croix Engineering. But we recognize that they're doing a lot of similar work. So we're just having some coordination meetings and we'll probably have them about once a month. We also had a coordination meeting with the project team for the US 80 corridor study. And we specifically focused on Georgia Hilo. And then for some public input, we also shared the inventory maps at GIS Day. This is an event for students, so they can be introduced to map making, GIS, and cartography. And so we just had some of the maps that Croy had available to post on the poster board that we took to GIS Day. So there are going to be future meetings, and the project end date is officially March 31st, 2027, but we expect this project to be finished before then, probably the end of 2026. And then I'm just going to scroll through some of the PDFs that we have so far of the data. We are still waiting on the shape files, but so far we have PDFs of the sidewalk inventory and then the bike and trail inventory as well. I also want to highlight what Croy submitted for the public involvement. So again, public involvement is underway right now. So there are several things going on. So one is there is a project website now. So the project website includes data, information, and then links to different ways to get involved, like the survey, the map survey, and then other contact information. And so everything is linked here, the project website, the online survey, and everything else. So for this committee, we are asking if you could share this information and then also participate yourself. So if you would like to take a survey, you're welcome to take any survey that's listed here. But if you have a social media where you can share this or an email listserv where you can share this information, that would be great with getting the word out about these surveys. And we already have had some surveys submitted, but we're still at the very beginning of the survey release. In addition to that, we also have it in another language. So if you know any communities that need Spanish translations, we have it, everything translated in Spanish as well in terms of the fact sheet. So if there are no questions, that's the end of this report, and it would be great if you could take these surveys and share it.
Thank you so much, Asia. I actually did see the group at two different community events over the last 2 weeks or so. So it does seem like they're really hitting the streets.
That's great.
Any questions or comments on item number 5? Okay, thank you. We can move into the non-motorized transportation plan update.
Okay, moving into this update. So this, the non-motorized transportation plan is also a bicycle and pedestrian plan, but it's totally core MPO staff created. So it's not being led by a consultant. So in terms of updates for the non-motorized transportation plan, staff recently had a meeting with a software company named Waypoint Transit. And they describe their software as automating workflows. In that meeting, we discussed how we can use this platform to manage the non-motorized transportation plan. In this, AI was mentioned a lot, and they described Waypoint Transit as basically an AI chatbot, but for urban planning. And so it was interesting to see how that technology works. So we're going to have future meetings with them to learn more about the product. Moving on to next steps for the plan, we're continuing to complete the draft for the plan and do the project evaluation. And then we're aiming to finalize and adopt the plan April 2026. So that is it for this status update. If there are no questions, I can end the report.
Hearing no questions. Thank you, Asia. Item number 7, US 80 phase 2.
Good afternoon again. So the US 80 phase 2 covers the segment in Effingham County. So it's a corridor study. So far, it's moving along, and the deliverables are being delivered as planned. So here are some of the tasks that have been completed. So I just want to make sure that you know that Asia has already mentioned that we had a coordination meeting with Georgia High Low. Because part of this, we don't want this just to be a highway project. So it will include some accommodation for bike pad and trail project. So that's why we have the high-low trail coordination meeting. And since the last meeting, the consultants, Kimberly Horn, have already completed data collection and then also delivered a new product. I just received it at the end of last week, and it's called the Existing Conditions Report. So as the project manager and with the other project manager from Effingham County, we are reviewing this document. So after the both project managers review the deliverable, and we will provide comments to Kimberly Horn, and they will update that information, and then we will post that to the website. Currently, we haven't set up the website because currently we don't have any deliverable that can be posted. So we are targeting to have the existing conditions report with the comments addressed posted online at the end of January. And also there will be a survey link to this study that will be posted online as well. Regarding the public involvement side of things, The consultant, Kimberly Horn, will give a presentation to the Cornpeel TCC and Cornpeel Board in February about existing conditions and then also about the progress they have been making. So they're working on the land use part of things and the projections, because the data collection has been done. So they're working on the projections of traffic counts and land use information. Another public involvement they are going to do, they are going to present to the Effingham County Board of Directors or Commission. And also the Effingham County Transportation Advisory Board. So that will happen probably in January and February. Another thing is we are going to continue to coordinate with the studies that Cornpeel is doing, like bike pad pedestrian facility study, and then also the urban flood model study, because all three studies will share information with each other, so we are not missing anything. And another thing that we will constantly coordinate is GDOT, because GDOT is doing the US 80 corridor study west of Effingham County and go all the way passing the Hyundai. So we will keep on sharing information, sharing data, and sharing findings and sharing projection information. So basically, it's moving along and it's already have a lot of deliverables, and it's on right on budget and right on time. So the expected completion date is March 31st, 2027, but we hope to finish this project probably before that. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Item number 8, urban flood model phase 2.
Good afternoon. It's Vashi Karunaratne presenting the status report for the urban flood model phase 2. So this study we started this in July 3rd of this year and is currently in its initial phases. And these are the tasks that we've completed thus far: the project management plan, project schedule, and QAQC plan. And we are currently reviewing the earlier phase GIS data and materials. And we are also in the draft phase of the infrastructure strategy guide. The latest update is that our outreach efforts have started, and we are up and running the website on CoreMPO main webpage. We also have our survey open now for the public and technical staff to provide information needed for this study. So we invite everyone, including general public and also technical staff, to take this survey. I will show you how it looks like. So here we have two options. You can either take it as a community member or a MPO member or a technical staff member. Once you pick one of these options, you have like different questions that we want to get answers to conduct the study. So particularly for an MPO member, we have links to the previous model and tools that we built in phase 1. So you can review those and answer the questions in this survey. So we kindly request all your support in spreading the word about this survey so that we can get the best input and carry the study for the best interest. So thank you so much. That's the report for the urban flood model phase 2.
Do we have any questions or comments? Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then our final status report, item number 9, call for projects, project scores, and rankings.
I'll give the one for the transportation alternatives.
So we are in an ongoing process for call for projects where different agencies are submitting applications for funds. And one of those funds is transportation alternatives, which focuses on bicycle and pedestrian projects. So for that, we received 9 applications for this fund. One was from Chatham County and 8 were from Effingham County. So part of this process is evaluating the projects. And so far, we've received 3 of the 5 sets of scores that we need for this process. So we're still waiting on 2 people to submit their scores. But based on the scores that we have so far, the top 3 projects are Johnny Mercer Boulevard, pedestrian improvements with Chatham County, Georgia Hi-Lo with Effingham, and the McCall Road Multi-Use Trail, also in Effingham. So the next steps in this process is to discuss the projects and their scores with TCC and the Core MPO board, and they will make a final decision in terms of funding awards. But right now, we are still waiting for all of the scores to get submitted. And so the scheduling in terms of the funding awards and the final decisions might be a little bit different if we get those scores later than anticipated. And then I can show some of the scores and rankings as well. I don't know if it's pretty hard to see, but I'll zoom in and show at the bottom the rankings. So there is a pretty big difference between the top scoring project from Chatham County and the second lowest. It's almost a 30-point difference. But when we receive the other 2 sets of scores, these scores might be different. And there were 2 tying projects, but they tied for last place. So it's not really an issue in terms of doing a tiebreaker, just because, again, they're tying for they're tied for 7th place. But that is the end of this report. And if there are any questions, please let me know.
Any questions?
Oh, I will say I don't know if they're online, but I believe the 2 sets of missing scores, they are from COPIC members. I don't know if they're online right now. Are they? Bernadette and I think Paula, they're not online. Okay, then I will get with them to yeah, or okay, well then I'll get with the COPIC members where that are helping with the evaluation, see if they need help with submission or anything like that, so we can get everything in on time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We can move into agency reports. Do we
Oh,
have?
we have one more. I'm sorry, we have one more call for project status report for another
Oh,
fund.
I'm sorry.
Hello, it's Subhashi Karunaratne again. So this is the status report for the scoring of carbon reduction plan. So this funding is given to us for projects that lower transportation emission and other carbon reduction strategies. So thus far, we've received these applications from Chatham County and Effingham County, and we are reviewing these currently. And from the 4 sets of scores that we received, the conclusion is for now are these are the top scoring projects. The reason why I have 5 here is because 3, 4, and 5 have scored the same score, so they are tied to the 3rd place. I hope that will change once we receive all the scores. The steps forward is to receive the total score and go through the TCC and Core MPO boards to proceed with the next steps. I would be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Are the missing scores the same as the previous?
No, it's actually from a different person. I don't think that person sits on this board. No, yeah, no.
Any other questions or comments?
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank
Thank you so
you.
much.
Okay. This is Waikoto. We have another final set for the call for projects. I just want to mention that Asia didn't mention the Transportation Alternatives Program. The applications, the review committee are mostly coming from the BPAC and the COPIC. But for the CRP funds and then SDBG funds, which I am managing, the review committee members are all from TCC because those are more technical. So I am managing the SDBG funds or Y230 funds, and those. The Y230 funds are the most flexible. The funds can be used for highway projects, transit projects, and bicycle and pedestrian projects. So we do have five members to review those. We receive the scores from City of Savannah and Chatham County, and then the Quorum PO. So we are missing two sets of scores from bike path committee. BPAC and then also Effingham County. So we did receive four applications from Chatham County and several from Effingham County. So I can just open this one and very fast so you can see the scores. So based on the current scores, the three Effingham County projects come to the top three based on the current scores. So those are State Route 204. You can see the final scores. So State Route 204 come up number one. President Street Railroad Crossing Elimination come up in number two. And then Johnny Mercer Boulevard come up in number three. So actually, all four Chatham County projects ranked higher than the Effingham County projects. That's probably because most of the Effingham County projects are trail projects. And then because of the ranking criteria, we do have requirements for transit connection. As you know, the Effingham County doesn't have a transit system. So they ranked lower than that. And also, I would say that the Y230 projects are ranked higher towards I would say the scores favor highway projects more than the trail and bike path projects. But fortunately, the transportation alternatives are geared towards the bike path projects. So the final numbers might change after we receive all of the scores. But I don't expect the final rankings will change that much, yeah, because of the ranking criteria based on this Y230. So just want to let you know that we are still missing two sets of scores. I have already sent an email to the other two review committee members considering the holiday season and then a lot of people are being sick. So hopefully we will receive that information soon. So after we receive that information, we have the final rankings, and then we get the revenues from GDOT, and we can start to allocate the funds. So by that time, we will report back to you. But I do want to mention this is the pot of money that CAD is eligible. We previously, in the previous years, and in previous call for projects, we always allocate some funds for transit to purchase at least one bus to have enough money for one bus. But this time, CAD didn't apply because probably one, they don't have the staff member to submit the applications. Two, they probably don't have the local match. So just want to come back to the previous agenda that we were talking about. Yes, any kind of legislative decision they make do impact the agencies. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Lakota?
I've got a question. Copy off the wall again, but the President Street, the elimination of the railroad crossing, that's going to be funded totally out of sale. I know we had the renewal of the sales tax, and is that going to be funded totally out of that?
No. No. Remember, we had the President Street Railroad Cross Elimination Study. Of that study, there were several recommendations, and there's one preferred recommendation. So we are going to explore that. So basically, that's the and have the concept development and have the preliminary engineering done. But there's no way the SPLOST funds can pay for the right of way acquisition and the construction. So eventually, federal dollars will have been involved.
Because it's too much.
Yes, the construction would be too much.
Right. Who would the county be paying the total cost, or would some of it be allocated to the CSX railway and the owners of the spurs that those trains have to cross? They see those. There's owners that have the marine facilities on the river, and those trains take goods and service, you know, stuff from that wood chips or whatever, and cross with, and they're a customer of CSX. They own the spur, so it comes across and then goes into the CSX rail line.
Yeah, that's why we are trying to study this, so that we can go into the concept of development and preliminary design, and that way we will evaluate exactly which property will be impacted, and do we have like easement or do we need to acquire right way? That will be further studied, and that is part of this. So currently, we are not having right way funds or construction funds, so we only have the PE phase. So that's at least explore, don't have that study results wasted, and explore the preferred alternative, which is alternative three. And then we will see how far we can go with that.
They should be able to avoid ROW acquisition costs because it's a big chunk of public land. You know what I'm saying? And they should be able to avoid any kind of right-of-way acquisition.
Yeah, that's what this phase is for. So we will evaluate what kind of impacts that right-of-way impacts we will have. They probably, I think for the preliminary engineering phase, they will probably have different alternatives as well. And they eventually evaluate which alternative is the best, has the maybe minimum impact, or maybe if it has more impact, but has higher benefit cost ratio. So that's part of this study.
All the more reason why the parties involved, in other words, the railroad, the owners of the spur, and the county should come together in sort of a shared funding formula. But we'll see.
Yeah, actually, the President Street, the segments involved is all in City of Savannah, or City of Savannah really should be the project sponsor for this, but. I'm glad that Chatham County is taking over this. So they might have some cost sharing agreement with the city just for this phase as well. So, but right now we don't know yet. So far Chatham County is committing to it.
Yeah. You got to determine the cost first.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any more questions, comments? Cool. All right, we can move into agency reports. Do we have anyone from Chatham County?
I have nothing. This is Ben.
Thank you, Ben. Do we have anyone from Chatham Area Transit with a report? Cool. Economic Opportunity Authority. Housing Authority of Savannah.
Nothing from housing today. This is Brenda Pollan.
Thank you, Brenda. Living Independence for Everyone. The National Federation of the Blind. Savannah Center for the Blind and Low Vision. And Seniors Inc. All right. Unless staff has anything and notices that they'd like to highlight, you all have access to those links. This is our last meeting of the year, so thank you.
Armand, sorry. We just want to highlight this grant opportunity. There's an ongoing grant opportunity for larger projects, and so we suggest everyone to see if they're eligible for these project funds to go through this attachment to see if they can get funding for their transportation project. And I'll just read the goal of this program is to fund projects that will have a significant local or regional impact and improve transportation infrastructure, and it will be awarded on a competitive basis. So the minimum award size is 1 million for rural capital projects and 5 million for urban capital projects. And planning projects don't have a minimum award size. The maximum award you can receive is $25 million. So you might be an eligible agency, and you can look through the eligible applicants to see if this is something that your agency can apply for.
Thank you. We will look into that. But yes, last meeting of the year, thank you to our committee members. Since we've come together, we've had really good attendance. So I appreciate you all taking an hour out of your day to contribute and be a part of these meetings. And thank you to staff as well for putting together these great presentations and organizing these meetings. So I hope you all have a great holiday, and we'll see you all on Monday, February 23rd at 2 p.m. And the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.